our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's great desire that the student community take sincere interest in the teachings of Sanatana Dharma as propagated by the great acharyas in the authorized disciplic succession. Because the future of the world is in the hands of the college students today. And education is really only meant for one's own benefit and for the benefit of others. There's no other meaning or purpose that education serves. It takes so much austerity, so much labor, so much sacrifice to go to college, to get through the exams, to get your degrees, and your idea is there will be some benefit. If you do not see benefit, why will you go through all of this? But we must understand what is actually beneficial. Otherwise, our whole education becomes a waste. The real benefit of every living entity is the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of real happiness for oneself as well as for others. This material world is a place of birth, old age, disease, and death. It is a place whether you have PhD, MA, or whether you are an illiterate beggar on the street, there will be so many forms of happiness and so many forms of distress. And if you take a nice analytical view, we will find that the successful scholarly people really do not have much more degree of happiness than the people on the streets. Just different types of happiness and different types of distress. We read in the scriptures, even great kings like Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, even though they were very, very, very great scholars, highly educated, very powerful, influential, they were always miserable. They were always in anxiety because they could never get enough to satisfy their senses, their mind, and their false egos. So, truth, as Bhagavad Gita explains, is to understand the difference between who we are and who we are not. Maya means that which is not. Maya influences our minds to think that we are this body, and to think that the designations pertaining to this body are very important, that they are mine. Truth is to understand that I am the eternal soul. I am part of God. And real life is to serve God. Real joy is to serve God. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to practically teach the people of this world what is truth. He took the teachings of Bhagavatam and Gita, and in his own life, he taught us how we could realize the highest truths and thus make our education in this world something that can be utilized for our real benefit and for the real benefit of others. By chanting God's name, by associating with the Lord's devotees, by living according to genuine philosophical principles as ordained in the Shastra, we can actually perceive, experience the spiritual truths of life. That truth that can bring real joy, not like the joy in this world, but eternal joy. So it is very, very essential that along with your education, you very much understand, practice, and realize the truth. Otherwise, your education has no benefit. But the more you have, the more can be utilized in God's service if you are Krishna conscious. So please accept this as the most important aspect of your life. Make a proper balance between your studies and studies of Srila Prabhupada's books, association of devotees, and nice sadhana of chanting the holy names and following these four regulative principles. And by living in a responsible way according to this process, you will actually find real fulfillment and you will actually be able to do real service within this world. So it is said by our Guru Maharaj that the people of India, it is their responsibility at birth to spread the message of Sanatana Dharma to the whole world. And all of you have this greatest opportunity. You are young, you are intelligent, you are capable. The world is before you. Do not put this opportunity for another day. It is an emergency. If your house is on fire, you don't think that let me finish studying for my exams, then I will deal with the fire. That is foolishness. This world is like a blazing fire. You have to deal with it now. And what is that fire? That the flames of illusion are gradually burning away our lives moment after moment after moment. So let us immediately take with all sincerity and earnestness the opportunity that Lord Chaitanya has given us of studying the scriptures that Srila Prabhupada has given. Srila Prabhupada's books give us not only the highest knowledge, but the most practical way in which we can apply it to every moment of our life. Thank you very much. Would anyone like to ask a question?
Sometimes we are put in such situations which we don't want to do, but we have to do, like repressing emotions or doing contraceptives. In that case, what should be our... We don't want to do it, but we are supposed to do that.
You have to do it or you have to watch it? To get your degree, it is absolutely... There's no alternative. Is this correct? You should never do it. Better you drop out of college and become illiterate than to murder. If you have to watch it, if there's any possible way in the 14 worlds that you can avoid it, you should avoid it. Otherwise, you should just close your eyes and chant Hare Krishna and make it appear that you're watching. But you should not be involved in these terrible, heinous, sinful activities. What would you say, Mother?
good advice.
Because you're getting your education to benefit. The person who performs abortion has to take residence in a womb thousands of times and be aborted and killed and not see the light of day for thousands, tens and thousands of years. I would say, if that's the price of education, it's better to be ignorant. So you should not take part in such activities. And if they say it is absolutely compulsory to be present, you should do everything you can to get out. And if there's no other way, just close your eyes and chant Hare Krishna and pray to Krishna to forgive you for even being in such a place. And then you will be protected. Did everyone hear the question? Yes? Everyone, when they ask questions, please speak very loudly. He asked that sometimes to be Krishna conscious, parents become disturbed. Is their sinful reaction connected to that? Yes? As we were speaking, what we really want to offer the ones we love is the most precious gift. If you become Krishna conscious, your parents, your relatives, they will all get the benefits of your Krishna consciousness. That is the arrangement of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was a student like you, and he associated with such a great guru, Narada Muni, who taught him the process of Krishna consciousness. The same process that you are being given, hearing and chanting and glorifying the Lord. But his father was very much against, even more than ours. Your father might complain, he might be in anxiety, he might worry, but is he throwing you in fire? Is he throwing you off mountains? Is he having rakshasas stab you with tridents? Is he feeding you the deadliest poison? So we can understand how much he was disturbed. He was sleepless day and night that his son was a devotee. Because after all, he wanted his son to take over the kingdom and be his heir. Yes? He wanted his son to be just like him. Every father wants that. That is the nature of the false ego. After all, you're born, to some extent you look like him. That makes him very happy. So he wants you to also be like him. That will make more happy. I have been a devotee for over 25 years. My father He's a businessman. To this day, he's still hope against hope. Thinking I will take over his business. So, like that. But Prahlad Maharaj, because he was steadfast in his spiritual principles, his father achieved liberation. If Prahlad Maharaj would have compromised to be what his father wanted him to be, his father would have simply gone through the terrible sufferings of all of his sinful activities and materialistic ways. So if you love your parents, you will become a pure devotee of Krishna. Because in becoming a pure devotee, they will all get the special mercy of Lord Krishna. They will become purified of their sins and their materialistic ways. They will be given bhakti, ultimately. If you become serious, surrendered soul at the feet of Lord Krishna. So that is the greatest love, that is the greatest service. So by all means, you should never give up your Krishna consciousness. If you do, you cheat them. You cheat yourself, you cheat them, and you cheat the whole world of what the world is greatest in need of. But in the process, as Prahlad, he never deviated from his Krishna consciousness, but still he was very polite, very respectful, and very loving toward his father. So we should also be like that. And generally we find that not everyone is like Hiranyakashipu. Within our congregation, almost every student that becomes Krishna conscious, at the beginning, the parents are generally outraged. They can't believe it. They're afraid they will lose their son or they will lose their daughter. But if the children just go on executing their Krishna consciousness without compromise, but at the same time remain very loving, very respectful, very gentle and kind toward their parents, in due course of time, the parents become devotees. If not full devotees, very, very favorable and sympathetic. Almost 100% of our devotees, in due course of time, their parents come to this stage. Even my own mother and father. They chant Hare Krishna. It took 18 years. But they chant Hare Krishna. And they listen to tapes. And they distribute books to their friends. At the beginning, they thought I was crazy. They would do anything to get me out. But now my mother told me that I am most proud of you, of all our relatives and friends. And my father, his friends, whenever they see me, they say, your father, he's always glorifying your movement and your participation in this movement. So how did this change of heart take place? And these are people of Christian and Jewish backgrounds. Your parents are probably somewhat pious Hindus. They will certainly become Krishna conscious. But two things are required. One is that you do not deviate due to sentiment for their materialistic conceptions. You have to stay strong and fast and not give in. But simultaneously, like Prahlad, you have to be very loving, gentle, and humble. And where it does not compromise your spiritual principles, you should be very helpful to them if you're living at home. Does that answer your question?
Offend them, especially like you said, like polite and humble and shouting nicely, but in case it happens.
if it is for the purpose of something that is Krishna conscious, then there will be no sinful reaction at all, even if they are offended. If you offend them in pursuit of something for your own sense gratification, then there will be great sinful reaction. If you offend them to execute the pure principles of devotional service, there will be no sinful reaction. But you should become more expert. Speak loudly. The question is, what is surrender to Krishna? Surrender means to give up. Just like in battle, when one side of the war completely defeats the other side surrenders. Yes? Just like in World War II, the Japanese and the Germans surrendered. That means they accepted defeat. So in Krishna consciousness, we say, Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai means victory. That means you are victorious and I am defeated. When we say Krishna ki jai, Bhagavan ki jai, that means Bhagavan, you are victorious and I am defeated. Guru Maharaj, you are victorious and I am defeated. We accept, we submit ourselves before God and before His pure devotees. That is surrender. And what does it mean to submit ourselves? Lord Chaitanya taught, Trinadapi sunichena, tadorapi suhishnana, amanina manadena, tirataniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respect to others and to respect none in return. In this way you can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is the highest perfection of surrender, to live by this verse. How to gradually and progressively attain that stage? It begins by putting aside your own ideas and accepting the word of Guru and Krishna. This is how Arjuna surrendered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He had so many of his own ideas, but then he realized that you are correct, Krishna. I am wrong. You are victorious. I am defeated. I accept whatever you say. Krishna says to chant his holy names. We chant his holy names. Krishna says to follow the four regulative principles. We follow the four regulative principles. Krishna says to read these books, the holy scriptures, as Srila Prabhupada has so wonderfully given. We read them and study them carefully. Krishna tells us through Guru Parampara and the senior Vaishnavas how we can best serve and how we can best model our lives for the best service. For you it is studying and assisting in every way you can and preaching to others. By accepting those principles and putting aside our own ideas, that is surrender. It is very simple, it is very practical, it is very tangible. Just hear submissively and follow what you have heard. That is surrender. And gradually come to that point of Trinadapi Suyachena. That is the perfect essence of surrender. Is there any other questions? Yes? Arjuna was a warrior. Arjuna went to the class of Dronacharya to learn the military arts. Duryodhana also went to the same class and he learned the same military arts. Arjuna was learning so that he could use it in the service of Krishna, and Duryodhana was learning in order to use it in the service of his own false ego. In the same way, you are going to college now, medical school. If you are a devotee and you are following the principles of Krishna consciousness, primarily hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees, and your ambition, your intention with the blessings of Vaishnavas is that you utilize your skills in the service of Krishna, then training to develop those skills is also a service to Krishna. But if your motive is simply to make money and get distinction in society, then your studies is simply karmic activities and will create bondage in the laws of nature. But those same studies, if they are done with the proper consciousness and the proper spiritual motivation of being used in the service of the Lord, it is actually directly service to the Lord. Just like we worship the Lord in a temple. At New Vrindavan, devotees built a beautiful samadhi for Srila Prabhupada. It's called Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. The idea was to worship Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's pure devotee, in that temple. But the devotees had to start to build it. No one was hired. It was all done out of sacrifice. Devotees had to lay the bricks. Devotees had to do the cementing. Devotees had to do all the carvings. The devotees had to do all the excavation. And no one got paid anything. Now, because the purpose, karmis, materialistic people, they're constructing buildings every day. Right across the street from us, there's this big, big skyscraper building where they're laying bricks and they're making cement. The same things the devotees did. But they are doing it simply for money and prestige. The devotees did it to build a house in which Krishna could be worshipped and his devotee. The motive was that we're going to prepare a beautiful place for the worship of Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, if we have a profession, we want to glorify and serve Krishna through our profession. So when you're studying in the college, you're actually putting block after block after block, building the structure by which your profession can be created. Yes? And then what will you do with that profession? If you use it to worship Krishna, then every block, everything you learn to develop those skills is also service to Krishna. Yes?
I can't concentrate on the studies fully. I think my mind is already finished. There's a debate to
study. Can you concentrate on chanting the holy name of Krishna? Yes? This is very good. Can you concentrate on studying Srila Prabhupada's books? So you are concentrating. That is also very good. But you will find that through chanting Krishna's names and through purifying your intelligence through reading the scriptures, you will become Krishna conscious. Your motivations will become Krishna conscious. Your enthusiasm will become Krishna conscious. And if you see how your future profession can be used in Krishna's service, this will naturally give you an enthusiasm to perform it first class for Krishna. Whatever we do for Krishna, we should do it with the best possible quality. Whether we are brahmacharis, grihasthas, or sannyasis, everything we do, we should try to do first class for Krishna. If you are studying to be a doctor, be a first class doctor for Krishna. And to be a first class doctor for Krishna, you have to do first class studies. And if you do it with a proper balance of chanting Hare Krishna, associating devotees, reading this Srila Prabhupada's books, then your life will actually be very, very full and complete. And when you have the clarity of mind through hearing and chanting and the proper motivation, your concentration in your studies will naturally increase. But ultimately, just do the best you can. Krishna is pleased if we just do the best we can in His service, for His pleasure. How God has created the soul. Krishna is the cause of all causes. How has the sun created the sun rays? God is eternal, and the soul are emanations eternally existing that have come from Him. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. The soul is not created. The soul is eternally part of Krishna. Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But Krishna has expanded Himself into innumerable souls simply for one purpose, for loving reciprocation. The supreme pleasure of the spiritual realm is the love between the Lord and His devotees. So in order to facilitate that love, the Lord has expanded Himself into so many infinitesimal parts and parcel called the jivatmas, each one with an inherent ecstatic love and devotion for the Lord. Every soul is meant for God's enjoyment. And God is meant for every soul's enjoyment. So for that loving reciprocation, Krishna has expanded Himself in the hearts of all of us as the eternal soul. But in this material world, we find the souls who have misused their independence and want to try to find happiness without Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that He descends in this world again and again and again and again in order to attract our hearts again to the real ecstasy and pleasure we are seeking, the loving association of the Lord, that which we have been created for. And in this age of Kali Yuga, He has descended in His holy name. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Maya is Krishna's energy. for those souls who want to enjoy apart from God. Krishna conquers that soul through the agency of Maya. And for those who want to utilize their existence for the pleasure of God, Krishna conquers that soul through his spiritual potency, Yoga Maya. So the soul is always conquered by Krishna. Yes? But whether we have the choice whether we want to be conquered by the illusory energy of Krishna or whether we want to be conquered by the blissful spiritual energy of Krishna. That is your choice. But in the path of bhakti, when we choose to be conquered by the spiritual energy of Krishna, by surrendering to the will of Krishna, gradually through purification, our love becomes so pure and so charming that Krishna actually accepts defeat by the love of his devotee. That is the nature of pure loving exchange. The lover is conquered by the beloved, and the beloved is conquered by the lover. Yes? Mother Yashoda conquered Krishna by her love. She bound him with ropes. Yes? And it is that love that is the ultimate goal of our life. And it should be the only purpose of everything that we do. To attract that love and to give other people that love. Yes? Because there cannot be love without freedom. You can program a computer, and the computer will obey any command you make. But a computer cannot love, because a computer has no freedom of choice. So if Krishna wanted to program us to love him, then we would all be like computers. It would be not much pleasure for us, and it would not be much pleasure for Krishna. So Krishna has given us free will, because only in free will can there be true love. But where there's free will, there is also the option to not love. Just like a father and mother may have a child, and if the father and mother wanted, they could tie their child up at home and say, stay here and do what we say. But will the child be happy? Will the parents be happy? If the parents do not tie the child up, the child could leave anytime. The child can do all mischief anytime. But if the child does what the parents want, there's love. The child feels happiness, the parent feels happiness. So Krishna is our eternal mother and father. And he tells us, this is what will make you happy. This is why you were created. Do as you like. Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And at the end he said, now Arjuna, do as you like. And Arjuna said, I will do as you like. That is love. Duryodhana, if he were to hear the same instructions, he would say, I will do as I like. So do you want to be like Duryodhana or Arjuna? Krishna gave them both equal opportunities for the same thing. So that free will that Krishna has given us is his greatest gift, because it facilitates the highest expression of ecstasy and love. But if we abuse that most precious gift, that is our greatest misfortune. And if we utilize it properly, it is the supreme fortune.
How do you believe that in detail it is said that one soul transpires into another body after death? That is, the soul changes the body as the
one person changes his clothes. So why do we perform this raag? That is, we give food to the forefathers. We give food so that the forefathers can receive. We believe that the forefathers are in heaven. If we say that atma moves from one body to another, then how, why do we like give food and perform this raag?
The idea of shraddha is that when the soul leaves the body of our forefathers, according to that karma, it takes another species of life, sometimes even in ghostly bodies. So in order to show the greatest love for that person, we want to try to help that soul in whatever species it may be in. And Krishna has given us a way that we can do the best service. And what is that? That we offer offer proper vegetarian food in love and devotion to Vishnu. And then that Vishnu Prasad, according to prescribed process, we offer it to the soul of that deceased person. And because we are doing it according to Krishna's will, we're doing it with some devotion, then Krishna will allow that soul to actually take, wherever it is, to take that prasad. And the soul becomes purified. In fact, the soul becomes liberated by taking that prasad of great, great sinful bondage. That is the purpose of shraddha. Yes? He made this world miserable so that you would not be satisfied in this world. And ultimately you'll want to go back home, back to Godhead, where real pleasure is. The greatest curse is to be under the illusion of being happy in this world. If somebody is suffering in this world, we think, very nice. Take Krishna consciousness. But if someone's happy in this world without Krishna consciousness, then we feel very sorry for that person. Because a person who understands some degree of suffering has more of an inclination to get out of this world and understand the truth. But a person who is content in this world, no matter how much you preach to them, they will say, yes, yes, very nice, very nice. But there's no need. They're happy in their illusion. Just like the story of Indra. He was cursed to become a hog. And in this hog's body, he was very happy. He was eating so much nice stool. And for hogs, stool is very delicious. And he had a wife who was very beautiful in his eyes. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. When a hog looks at your wife, he's not attracted. The hog thinks, God, how could that person live with such an ugly woman? But when you look at the hog's wife, ha 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 It's not so difficult to control your senses. So in the heavenly planets, Indra has all these beautiful, beautiful Apsara ladies, Urvasi, Sachi. Such ladies, they're so beautiful. Prabhupada, one time, Srila Prabhupada, there was a brahmachari, and he had a picture of his old girlfriend. This girl is uglier than a horse. So it is our relative conception of beauty. So Indra, who had the most beautiful, beautiful apsaras of dancing for him, when the apsaras perspire, their perspiration is intoxicating perfume. Do you know any ladies in this world that have such qualities? So when he was cursed to become a hog, he had no attraction for the apsaras or for Sachi. He was completely infatuated by this female hog. Her shape, her smiles, her sidelong glance, the way she walked, the way she talked. And he had all these little hog children that looked just like him. And they were just his life and soul. Their broken language, the way they would move and fall down. So anyways, Lord Brahma, Indra, his curse was already finished, his duration of time, and he was required to do his work, his seva. So Brahma said, come back. There's no need. Your curse, the term of your curse is finished. Come back to the heavenly planets. And Indra said, how can I come back to the heavenly planets? I have my wife, I have my children, I have my home, I have my so many wonderful sports that I perform, I have my occupation. He wouldn't come. He was under the illusion that he was satisfied and happy in this material world as a hog. In every species of life, there's this conception of happiness in this material world. So Brahma, through so much argument and logic, was trying to convince him that this is not your real place. Come back. He said, I'm happy. This is wonderful. So he remained in illusion. But then Brahma did something very wonderful for him. He arranged a butcher to come and kill all his children. And Indra saw their heads being chopped off, their limbs being chopped off, the blood flowing, they were screaming. Then butchered his wife. Then they came for Indra. And Indra said to Brahma, I'm ready. So similarly, now in this world, we're all living like hogs, trying to enjoy the stool of material temporary enjoyment. And Krishna arranges miserable situations just so we sober up and say, yes, I'm ready, Krishna. Take me back home, back to Godhead. I will chant your holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Instructed Jaranidhara to throw the two parts of the body in opposite directions. Jaranidhara
Why he did like this, you're asking? That is his mercy. Krishna is the absolute truth. And whatever comes from the absolute truth is truth. In this material world, there are so many relative truths. Relative truth means that one truth is utterly dependent and interdependent on other truths for its existence. Yes? Absolute truth means that that truth is not dependent or interdependent on anything else because it is the source of all truth. Sarva karana kararam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Param satyam dhimihi. He is the absolute truth. And Krishna is all good. Whatever Krishna does is for the ultimate benefit of everyone. Krishna never lies. Because he is beyond the moralities of this material world. And if we analyze it, people ask why Krishna stole butter. It was his leela to steal butter, Makhan Chor. But actually, when he stole butter from gopis, when Mother Yashoda said, "Oh, I will keep him home, so he will not be able to steal your butter," the gopis said, "No, no, no. The only reason we make our butter is with the hope that he will come to steal it." And Krishna also declares in Bhagavad Gita, "Sarav bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwara." Krishna says, "I am the proprietor of everything." He is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartite. All material and spiritual existence is coming from him. So he is the true and only proprietor of everything that exists. So what is there for him to steal? Everything is already his. So similarly, whatever Krishna speaks is for the ultimate benefit of everyone. Therefore, there can be no lie. So as far as Jarasandha was a great demon who was creating tremendous atrocities. So Krishna taught Bhima how to kill him for the benefit of everyone. Mm-hmm. As far as Yudhisthira telling lie, not exactly ego. It wasn't ego. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. But his pure devotion was very much conditioned to always being completely honest on every level. And when Krishna told him to speak this by surrendering to Krishna, he was actually surrendering to the highest truth. To not do what Krishna says is a lie. To do what Krishna says is truth. That is proper understanding. Srila Prabhupada used the example, honor amongst thieves. He told the story that a band of dacoits rob a bank. And they take all the money and they bring it to a secret place. And one says to the other, "Let us divide it honestly." Now, amongst themselves, there's a certain conception of honesty. But when the policeman comes in and arrests them all, no matter how honestly they divided it, they will all be punished in prison. Yes? So similarly, in this world, we may have so many moral principles, Everything is God's property. We could divide it up and do it in so many moral ways. The United Nations, the various governments of the world that are not propagating God consciousness, they may be teaching certain kinds of morality. But it's all immoral. It's all a lie. The conception that we're this body is a lie. The conception that we can own anything is a lie. So we're trying to create little tiny moral principles on the basis of huge lies. That's morality in this world. But at the time of death, the policeman comes in and takes you before Yamaraj. And then you say, "But I was very honest." And Yamaraj will tell you, "But it was all a lie. It was all immoral, because everything is the property of God. If you do not use it for His service, you are cheating Him." So therefore, whatever Krishna speaks is real morality. And to follow His instruction is the highest truth. And that has absolute precedence over our own worldly relative conceptions of truth and morality. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadharaman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye sarvamasucha. Abandon all varieties of religion. Religion means all these little intricate moral principles. And just surrender to me, to my will. That is the highest truth. That is the only means by which we can become free from fear. Yes?
Maharaj, we say that purity of his life is completely controlled by 50% of Godhead, and whatever is given to him, whether apparently good or bad, is through the mercy of the Lord. So as far as neophyte devotees are concerned, who are just beginning Krishna consciousness, to what extent is their life controlled and directed by 50%? Or is it so that the suffering they undergo during the course of trying to be Krishna conscious are because of karmic reactions, or are they because of the mercy of the
It is because of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who sincerely takes to the path of bhakti his life is then being directed by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Even in the neophyte stages.
But the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is He will give you what you need. And sometimes, because of our addictions to various materialistic situations in this world, Krishna allows, under His supervision, certain doses of the karma we would have had to come upon us, just to frustrate and cleanse us of those addictions. But it is being given by the mercy of the Lord for our purification. And if we accept it in that consciousness and remain steady in our devotional service, we will get the greatest benefits of receiving His mercy. Why did Srila Prabhupada speak out so strongly against Mayavad philosophy? Because it is so deeply rooted within the hearts of the society today. Because the reason why we are in this world is because we want to enjoy the position of God. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Bhoktaram jagatapasam. That means He is the supreme enjoyer of everything. So if Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of everything, if we want to enjoy anything, that means we want the position of God. Everyone in this material world, from the insignificant germs to the demigods in the heavens and all species between, they are all trying to be gods, Ishwaras. Everyone wants to be the lord of all they survey. Everyone wants to exploit the resources of material nature. You see the rats running all over Bombay. They all think they're God. They're looking for female rats. They're looking for food. They're looking for a nice place to stay. They eat through your wood and find some nest, make nest. In this way, they're all under the conception that they're enjoyer. That means they're trying to be God, because God is the only enjoyer. Our eternal position is to be enjoyed by God. So this is the reason everyone is in this material existence. We want to enjoy the position of God on one level or other, consciously or subconsciously. Now, when we become frustrated utterly by the futile attempt of trying to enjoy the resources of material nature, we take to the path of renunciation, where we control our mind, we control our senses, we try to understand the distinctions between matter and spirit, and then the ultimate illusion comes that by transcending all the enjoyments of this world, I can become the supreme Brahman, and I can be the supreme enjoyer of everything. The rat wants to be the enjoyer of his little domain. In that way, he wants to be God. The grihastha wants to be the enjoyer of his home, his family, his money. In this way, he wants to be God. But when you're frustrated by all these attempts, you want to transcend this bodily concept altogether and eternally be the God of all, the God of the universe, the supreme absolute truth, the personality, not personality of Godhead, but the impersonal Brahman. So it is the ultimate last extension of this ego of wanting to be the enjoyer. And therefore the Vaishnavas, who understand that eternal service to God is our eternal natural position, they very much condemn this Mayavad philosophy, because it destroys any possibility of the true sentiment of eternal service. Mayavad philosophy means from going to the realm of being a temporary enjoyer to be the eternal enjoyer. And bhakti means to be eternally the servant. You cannot be the eternal enjoyer. You are constitutionally not fit. Mayavadi means that they consider ultimately the form of God, the pastimes of God, the name of God, it's all Maya, it's all illusion. And Lord Chaitanya said, one who submissively hears Mayavad philosophy, whatever stage he's on of spiritual advancement, it is spoiled. So to protect us from this last snare of illusion, the Vaishnavacharyas very, very strongly warn us to understand the defects and the dangers of Mayavad philosophy. Yes? Was the last part? We should understand how to purify ourselves of the false ego. That is what is of utmost importance. What purifies the false ego is service to the Lord and his devotees, and hearing and chanting his names and glories. by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita regularly, by serving the Lord and His devotees under proper instruction, and by chanting His holy names, we gradually become purified of false ego. That is what you must understand. As far as offenses, until we're pure devotees, we are always doing something offensive. But if Krishna sees that we are sincerely trying to purify ourselves, then He will not take serious any of those offenses. Yes? If they properly follow, they will certainly get purified. And as Srila Prabhupada explained, they attain the spiritual world according to the particular way in which they understand the Quran and the Bible. Most people whose understanding the Bible and the Quran, the most they're seeking is higher enjoyment in this world, or perhaps elevation to the heavenly planets. Very rarely do we find people of these religions who are seeking transcendental realization. But the heart of these scriptures is to transcend material existence and enter into the spiritual realm. If they actually become pure devotees of the Lord, then they can attain a higher realm of consciousness, and from there they can learn higher knowledge and go to Vaikuntha.
What about Jains?
I do not know about Jains so much. Do you know about Jains? But we can say this: if people surrender utterly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can go back to Godhead in whatever they call their religion. If they have another idea, then they will not go back to Godhead. You don't have to explain what their idea is. You can just compare it to what the standard is. Those who understand God as a person and who surrender to His will, to the chanting of His name, giving up all sinful activities, they can become purified and they can actually make great advancement in the path of bhakti in any religion. But those who have a impersonal conception or who are approaching God for material benefits, they will either get material benefits or they will get some impersonal realization. So Srila Prabhupada made it very simple. Any religion that teaches pure love of God to the Supreme Person is good. Yes?
When we read Bhagavad Gita, we start reading Bhagavad Gita, we come to know, we read that Krishna is talking to Arjuna. There is a conversation between them. But did never Duryodhan had a chance to know this, or read this, or get this knowledge?
Duryodhana had so many chances, but he rejected. He did not want. Krishna personally came to deliver message to him. Krishna personally instructed him and told him what was best for him, but Duryodhana rejected it. In fact, on one occasion, when Krishna came to his court and told him, if you do like this, you will achieve the greatest benefit. But if you go in the course of action that you are doing now, how much you will suffer, how sinful you are. So take my advice. And after he gave it as advice, Duryodhana sent his soldiers to arrest Krishna and put him in prison. And then Krishna revealed a universal form, Virat Rup, effulgent like thousands of suns, magnificent form. And Duryodhana saw it. He understood who is Krishna. But because of his envious heart, even after seeing that, even after hearing all good advice, he still rejected what Krishna said. Why? Because he was so much attached to being the enjoyer. Krishna gave Duryodhana the same opportunities as Arjuna.
Because I have heard that when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, no one would hear it except Arjuna and Sanjay. Yeah.
How can you say that? Millions and millions and millions of people throughout history have read it, and they are hearing it. Yes? There's no difference between the sound vibration of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's original speaking of Bhagavad Gita. One of our God brothers once had a dream where he saw Krishna speaking Gita to Arjuna. And then the dream shifted and Prabhupada was speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. So he told Srila Prabhupada that this was my dream. And it seems like it's exactly the same thing. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood properly. When you receive Bhagavad Gita through the disciplic succession, you are receiving exactly the same teachings with the same potency as Arjuna was receiving on that chariot. There are so many millions of Bhagavad Gitas in this world, but how many people are surrendering to Krishna? Because we have that free choice. But it is our duty and service as devotees, by our example, by our persuasion, to somehow or other convince people to accept the teachings that Krishna has given them and make their lives perfect. And that is the greatest charity and greatest compassion. So should we have kirtan now? Any urgent, desperate questions? Yes, one more.
I would like to ask whether the yoga had come to enhance the Leela of Krishna, or was he just an ordinary soul? He came to enhance the Leela of Krishna.
He didn't know it, but he came to enhance the Leela of Krishna. Krishna used him for his own purpose. He was an envious rascal. But Krishna used his envy to ultimately spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world. If it wasn't for Duryodhana, there would be no Bhagavad Gita. So we should offer our humble obeisances to Duryodhana. From a distance. We should not follow his example. But actually, it is true that there is a negative side and a positive side, but they are all being utilized by Krishna. If it wasn't for Hiranyakashipu, no one would understand the glories of Prahlad. If it wasn't for Hiranyakashipu, no one would know the greatness of Narasimha Dev. If it wasn't for Kamsa, Krishna would have not appeared in this world and displayed his wonderful pastimes. It was Kamsa that sent Putana and Kaliya and Trinavarta and Bakasura and Aghasura and Vyomasura and Keshi. And today we are reading these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and getting purified. But it's all by the grace of Kamsa. But all these demons came and facilitated Krishna performing these wonderful, wonderful leelas. If it wasn't for Hiranyaksha exploiting this earth planet, Varahadeva would have never come. If it wasn't for Ravana, nobody would have ever heard the name of Ram. Yes? If it wasn't for Ravana, people would not know the supreme chastity of Sita. Similarly, if it wasn't for Duryodhana, no one would understand the quality of the surrender of the Pandavas. The Bhagavad Gita would have never been revealed to the world. So we are eternally grateful to these demons for facilitating the mercy of the Lord on earth. They were actually utilized in a wonderful way for the ultimate welfare of humanity. Nitai go premanandi.